Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we are up to Perek Chaf Gimel of Shmuel Aleph, chapter 23.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And at the end of the last Perek, so in the last Perek we had that Shaul and Doeg, they eliminated Nov, Ira, Kohanim, they killed all the Kohanim there. The men, the women, the children, and one person escaped, and that was Eviasar. He runs away, and he finds David and David's people, David's little militia, and David says, stay with us, we'll protect you, you'll protect us, and that's where we pick up now in Perek Chaf Gimel. So, the Perek begins with Pasuk Aleph, if I can find it. Vayagidu leDavid leMor. And they told David, saying, Hinei Plishtim nilchamim b'keila. The Plishtim are fighting b'keila, in Keila, a place. Vehema shosim es hagranos. And they are shosim es hagranos. They are looting the threshing floors, the storehouses. They're looting the area. So the question that David is going to have is, should he go to the rescue? Should he rescue Keila? Marikaro here says Keila was part of Yehuda of the, and which is David Shevet. I believe that that's kind of up for discussion whether it was or it wasn't. But
first thing to know where Keila even is.
I don't know where Keila is. So here they are, and they are, as the pasuk describes, shosim es hagranos. The most mefarshim learn that shosim means bozizim. They're looting it. But the Malbim actually says that it absolutely does not mean that. The Malbim says that there's a difference between shosim and bozizim, and shosim actually means they are mashrisim, they're just destroying it, and they're there just on the, you know, just to destroy the place. Now, the Gemara in Erevin has a discussion about, when are you allowed to, actually, before we see the Gemara, let's just see one more pasuk. Vayishal David b'Hashem. Pasuk Bey says, and David asked from Hashem, Lemor saying, Ha'elech v'kesi ba'plishtim ha'ele. Should I go and fight these plishtim? Vayomer Hashem el David, and Hashem said to David, Lech v'kisa ba'plishtim. You should go and strike at the Plishtim and save Keila. So David asks Hashem. We'll see shortly how he asked Hashem. We'll see that he had it in his possession, or at least it seems he had the Urim and the Tumim. We'll discuss that further soon. But he, which was the way that a king or a leader could ask Hashem a question through the Kohen Gadol. So he seemed, we'll see, he had that in his possession. So he asked Hashem, and he said, should I go to the defense of Keila? David's not there right now. Keila is under attack by the Plishtim. Should I go with my militia and help defend the city of Keila? And Hashem says, go and strike the Plishtim, and you'll save Keila. Now, what were the Plishtim up to? So the Gemara in Erevin tells us that it says Amar Yehuda Marav Nachrim Shetzara Layaros Yisrael. If there are Gentiles who are attacking a city, you're not allowed to, or if they are siege, you know, laying siege to a city, you're not allowed to go and attack them or to be Mechal Shabbos. You can't desecrate Shabbos to go and initiate a fight with them. But then the Gemara qualifies that. It says, when is that true? When are you not allowed to go and fight them on Shabbos? That's only if they're only coming for money. They just want to loot the place and then leave. But if they came for nefashos, if they're coming to with and they're going to kill people, so then you could indeed fight them and be mechal Shabbos.
How are you supposed to know?
How are you supposed to know? I don't know. Let's say you know.
Are you just coming to steal his stuff, or are you going to kill him?
Let's say, okay. Well, it's a good question.
I was supposed to test to especially what they bring with them. Like, for example, they bring a siege engine, and they're probably coming to kill. But
yeah, that's a good question. Let's leave that question aside.
Yeah, but there's another problem here. Right? They're looting the granaries. Yeah. Without the grain, the people will starve. So it's b'kuach nefesh.
Okay. Good. Okay. So let's see what the Gemara says. However, if it's an ir hasmucha l'sfar, if it's a border city, so then even if they don't come for nefashos, they just come for stuff, for teving and kash, it says, which is like straw and materials. So even then, you're allowed to fight them and be mechal Shabbos. And the Gemara brings down our story as sort of a example of that. The Gemara says, what does it mean that they by Akidu Davir our pasuk, and they told David Lamor saying Hine Plishtim Nelchamim Bikeila Vehima Shosim Esagranos. So it says the Gemara, Tana Kiila Iras Mucho Lisfar Haisa. Kiila was a border town, and the people and the Plishtim were not coming for looking for human life. They were coming al iske taving bekash. They were interested just in the straw, it says. Dichsiv, as it says, Vehema Shosim Esagranos. They were. But right, what did they come for? For the granos, for the granaries. Right, you're right. It sounds like it's grain. Here it's saying tevin vikash. It's saying straw, and I think it's like drying out straw. So I maybe
feed
for the animals. Okay. So and it says, and David asked Hashem, should I go and strike them? Now the Gemara wants to know what exactly was David asking. If he was asking that, is it mutter for me to go? So, am I allowed to go and fight them? Well, says the Gemara, Shmuel and his Beis Din are still around. You don't ask Hashem. You don't ask the Urim Betumim a halachic shaila. You go to the rabbis of the time.
Actually, the question on that: wouldn't it probably be unsafe to go to Shmuel's Beis Din because it might be presumed it's shaul, or at least that would be a place where people would go there for shaul, quickly find out and go to kill.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah, I hear the question. So he couldn't have been asking, is it permitted to go or not? He must have known that it's permitted to go. And again, the Gemara somehow knows that it was Shabbos. I'm not sure how it knows that.
If it wasn't Shabbos, there wouldn't be Shiloh.
Right, but he didn't ask that Shiloh. The Gemara is saying he didn't ask that Shiloh. The Gemara says he was only asking, will I be successful or not? I mitzlach, I lo mitzlach. And indeed, that's the answer. The Gemara says, you see that's the answer. The answer is that it says you'll go and you'll strike the Plishtim and you'll save them. So we learn from there that his whole question was, should I strike or not? Not am I allowed to strike them, but rather will I be successful or not? And the answer is that you should indeed go. He wasn't asking, am I allowed to go? The Gemara says, because that's pasha, that's obvious that he's allowed to go. This is a border town, so he knew he was allowed to go. He knew the halacha, even though it was Shabbos. But what he wanted to know was, will I be successful or not? And the answer was, you will, and you should go and fight. Yeah.
It's a border town, meaning geographical borders or wherever the frontier or the battleground happens to be. In other words, if the Plishtim made an incursion of several miles into the interior town, you just let them go. I mean,
I think that's the assumption. I think it's saying that it has to be an actual border town. Again, this is where they're not coming for human life. They're just coming for money, and, you know, or possessions, materials. So normally, if it's Shabbos, you can't. You have to just to let them go through. But if it's a border town, so then you are allowed to fight. I guess we assume that creates a greater threat. If it's a border town, to let them in is not, you know, that's very problematic to let your borders down. So that's what the Gemara says. Now the Malbim here tells us that the Gemara is, how does the Gemara know that they're only coming for the materials? So the Gemara seems to indicate, the Gemara says it's because it says Hema Shosim Es Hagranos. It says they were looting the granaries. It means they're coming for materials. The Malbim adds, and he says that there's a difference between when it says Nilchamim Bikila and Nilchamim Al Kila. Right? This pasuk says Hinei Plishtim Nilchamim Bikila. The Plishtim were fighting literally in Kila, but against Kila. There's two ways that the pasuk could have said that. It could have said it like this, and it could have said Al-Ki'ila. And Al-Ki'ila means against the city itself, and they're trying to take the city. And Bik-Ki'ila means just, you know, against a part of it, meaning in this case against the possessions, against the materials. So he says that's how the Gemara knew that they were only coming for Tevin Vikash. They weren't after human life. In any event, David asks Hashem, should I go and fight them and save Keilah? And Hashem says that yes, you should. Pasuk Gimel Vayomru Anshe David Elav, and David's men said to him, Hine Anachnu Fo Yehuda Yireim. Here we are in Yehuda, and we're scared. Ve'af ki neilech ke'ila el ma'arachos plishtim. And on top of that, you want us to go and fight against the plishtim and ke'ila? We're already scared where we are right now in our current position. You want us to put ourselves in further danger by going to ke'ila? So what were they saying? So the Radak says that they were, you know, they are the number one, most wanted list right now. They're with David. They're on the most wanted list, right? Shaul's after them. So they're saying, we're already in danger from Shaul, and you want us to go in and put ourselves in further danger by fighting against the Plishtim? Are you crazy? We don't want to get involved in that. Now, how could they have such a response? David just asked the Urim V'Tumim. He asked Hashem, and Hashem said, go. So, what were they, how could they have had such a response?
But he asked whether he'll be successful or not, whether they have to go or not.
Okay, but they're going to be successful.
Will they be successful against Shaul?
Well, this isn't about Shaul, this is about the Plishtim. David asked, you know, will I defeat the Plishtim? And Hashem says, yes. And it says the people didn't want to, you know, they said we're too scared. I'm like, what are they to be scared about? Hashem just guaranteed them victory.
But question, victory can have many means. For example, Pyrrhus made battles, would win the battle, would lose half his army.
Okay, if Hashem makes a guarantee to you, I mean, it's...
Was the Gemara assuming that yes, there were the Turin at the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, the Gemara there, I mean, we'll see another Gemara, but the Gemara that we discussed so far doesn't talk about this, right? It just says that he asked if he should go, and Hashem said go.
Yes,
yeah, seemingly. We'll see shortly, but that's... Whatever, however he asked Hashem, right? It says, and Vayishal David ba'Hashem. David asked Hashem. Vayomer Hashem el David. And Hashem said to David. So we have a you know, a guarantee here. So what are they so worried about? So the Malbim says there's two reasons. The Malbim says that first of all, the way that Hashem responds is v'kisa ba'plishtim, and you'll strike from amongst the plishtim. Now ba'plishtim is right. If it would have said v'kisa esa plishtim, you'll strike the plishtim. So then that sounds like you're going to destroy them. V'kisa esa plishtim. You'll strike the plishtim, but ba'plishtim sounds like you're only going to kill some of them. You're only going to get some of them. So he says, the Malbim says, usually actually tells you in the pasuk how many, you know, how many were killed. It says, and they struck from amongst them ba, you know, this number of people. Whenever it says ba, so it sounds like the guarantee wasn't such a great guarantee. It was just and really that's how David asked the question. So Hashem answered according to the way David asked. David maybe didn't ask the best way. But David asked the question, should I go and strike against these plishtim? And Hashem said, yeah, go and strike against the plishtim. But there's going to be plishtim left. You're not going to destroy them. So that was one thing that they were nervous about, that would, you know, there would be more plishtim left. They would regroup and come back. So that was one of their concerns. Secondly, right, so similar maybe to what Yosef was saying, he says that he didn't tell them that he was going to hand them into their hands b'derech neis, through a miracle. He said, you'll defeat them. Okay, but defeating them could come with casualties. And that, you know, if they were guaranteed that they would survive, that they would all be fine, that would be one thing. But that wasn't the promise. So that's why they were still concerned. So Pasuk Dalet continues and it says, Vayosef O David Lishol Bashem. And David continued to ask Hashem the same, I guess again. Vayaneu Hashem. And Hashem answered him by Yomer, and he said, Kum, get up, raid Keila, go down to Keila, ki ani nosing as plishtim biyadecha, because I will hand the plishtim into your hands. So now this is a better guarantee for the people. This they like the sound of that better. I will hand the plishtim over into your hands. That sounds good. They're not scared anymore, and they're ready to go. So Pasuk Hey says, "Vayelech David va'anashav Keila," and David and his men went to Keila. Vayilachem ba'plishtim, and he fought against the plishtim. Vayinages mikneyem, and he took control of their cattle. Now, what do the plishtim have cattle there for? So either to, you know, so that they have food while they're at war. Some mefarshim say, I think the Metudas David maybe says that the Radak says that actually, no, they didn't bring their cattle with them, but the David's men chased them all the way back to Eretz Plishtim, and there they took their cattle from them.
I'm sure how far the border is, like was Keila like several hours away from?
Well, we said it was a border city, so it may not be so far.
Yeah, I just think it's times of Malachim where it's like a person goes where like Zimri ruled for 1 week before the armies were seen to police the city.
Yeah. By Yahbahim Mako Gedola, he struck against them a great striking. By Yosha David is Yoshve Keila, and David rescued the people of Keila. So David is victorious as Hashem had promised. So now the Navi tells us how he was able to ask these questions. Vayehi, and it was pasuk vav bivroach Evyasar ben Achimelech al David Keila. When Evyasar, the son of Achimelech, ran away to David in Keila, Ephod yarad biyado. The Ephod came with him. Now, Evyasar, remember, was the one leftover from the city of Nob. He was the son of Ahimelech who escaped. He ran to David. David said, I'll protect you, and you'll protect us. You'll give us protection, we'll give you protection. And now the Pasuk is telling us that there was an ephod yarad biyado. The ephod came with him. Now the ephod is the Kohen Gadol's apron, usually translated. It's not usually the piece that's associated with the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim is usually associated with the Choshen, the breastplate. Right? The breastplate had the stones with the names of the tribes on them. And inside was a paper with Hashem's name or multiple names of Hashem. That was the Urim V'Tumim. It went into the in between the slats of the breastplate, and that's what caused the breastplate to animate and to give, to provide answers to questions from whoever was asking the questions.
Right, but the Choshen HaMishpach was attached to the ephod, right?
Okay, so right, they were chained together. So that may be the answer. It may be that when it says ephod yarad biyado, it's telling you that the ephod along with the Choshen HaMishpach came with him. And yeah, that would probably be the most simple approach. That's probably the most accepted approach here. Mitzudas Tzion, for example, says that. He says, Ephod, what's talking about? Zayomer ala Ephod v'achosheng ima urim v'tumim. And he gives other examples where we see it just mentions the Ephod. That's definitely the most likely possibility. The Radak says something interesting here. The Radak, he's wondering about this language of Yarad biyado. The ephod, yarad literally means to go down, or it came down with him. It came down in his hands. So it's an interesting expression. So the Radak says that what the Pasuk is telling you was that this wasn't completely intentional, that he even had it with him. He kind of was grabbing things as he was ready to run away. And he didn't even pay attention to what he was taking and what he was leaving. Like, he was on the run. He just grabbed whatever he could and ran. And he says it was Siba Me'is Hashem. Hashem engineered it that he would grab. One of the things he would take was the ephod. And therefore, it says it was Yarad Biyado and not Horid. He didn't bring it with him. It just happened to come with him. That's what the Radak says. And it was Hashem engineering things so that David would end up with it and be able to ask these questions. Other Mefarshim say, nah, they don't say it in that voice, but I think Rabbeinu Yeshaya here, for example, says, he basically says we have other examples where it uses such an expression as Yarad. That's just how the Navi speaks sometimes. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was accidental or unintentional. That's just how it speaks, and it kind of makes sense, because if you're a Kohen and you're about to run away and you have to grab anything, that's probably one of the first things that you think to grab is the ephod with the Choshen HaMishpach and the Urim V'Tumim. Yeah.
Good deal. Taking it off so he didn't end up with all the Kohanim that were wearing the ephod. I mean, that was the last week. You said the people were killed were wearing the ephod.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So according to this, if we're assuming that this ephod was the Urim, was the Choshen HaMishpach, there was only one of them. And what they were wearing would be something else. When it says that they were all right, so what Dan's referring to is last week it said that the 85 Kohanim that Doeg killed, they were all wearing an ephod bod. They were all wearing a linen ephod. And look, Eviasar also has an ephod. So are these the same ephods or not? So if we're assuming that this ephod that he had was the Choshen HaMishpach, then they would not be the same. They had some nice ephod, some nice apron type of clothing that was just sort of the Mefarshim say, like, it was a nice, it represented their honorable position. But not that it was the Choshen HaMishpach, not that it had the Urim V'Tumim. But
wouldn't that make Joel more likely to chase after him if he took the one and only?
Could be, but it's the most valuable possession to have if you're You know, if you're mounting a rebellion or... Now, so this is all the probably the most accepted approach, the most common approach is that it was indeed the Urim Batumim. There's an interesting Ramban in Parshas Tetzaveh, and the Ramban is describing for us how the Urim Batumim works, and he tells us what I mentioned before. The Ramban says that it was the, you know, the Kohen Gadol's breastplate with the stones, and it had letters, and they had the names of the and he says, they took the Urim Batumim and they stuck it in between the folds of the choshen of the breastplate, and on the Urim Batumim, on this paper, were different names of Hashem, and that's what would give the choshen its ability to answer questions. And the Ramban says something fascinating. He says,
even in the developing world, they're less
gas. The Efshar, he says, it's possible that after Moshe Rabbeinu put those names into the Choshen of the Urim Batumim, they were known in the Mesorah, in the tradition, from him to Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just keep the secret for himself what was written on that paper, but he passed it down to the great Chachamim, the great Gedolim of the Jewish people. That he passed it to them, he says, im Sisrei Torah, along with other secrets of the Torah. And therefore, says the Ramban, Haya Biyad David Ephod. That's why David had an ephod. And he's referring to this. The Vilna Gaon, when he quotes this Ramban, adds in with Avyasar HaKohen. So the Ramban, he's seemingly referring to this. That's how David had an ephod. The Haya Kidmus Ephod Moshe. He says it was similar to the ephod of Moshe. Uvo Choshen Kidmus Choshen HaKodesh. And it had a choshen, a breastplate, like the breastplate of that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. But what the Ramban his point is that this wasn't the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Aval nira shahaya bad, it was made of linen. Like we find in Shmuel, that Shmuel is described as a nar chagor ephod bad. Shmuel, who wasn't even a Kohen, Shmuel was a Levi, he had the pasuk describes that he had a ephod bad. He had a linen ephod. And it says the Ramban, what you were referring to last week, the Amar b'Nov ira Kohanim. And about Nov, the city of Kohanim, it said, Shmonim chamisha ish nose ephod bad. There were 85 of these Kohanim wearing ephod bad. They were wearing a linen version of the ephod / choshen. The Abishu Oso Esakoen Shehu Mibnea Neviim, the Shoalim Bo Venenin Lefamim. And they would, basically, says the Ramban, lots of people had this, the Kohanim, maybe even Shmuel, Levi, and I don't think this would work for everyone to ask it, but if you were the right person, if you were a David, you know, someone was anointed to be king, then you could ask your questions to this replica of the Kohen Gadol's breastplate and the Urim Batumim. So the Ramban saying a whole different thing, a fascinating idea. This wasn't that Eviasar grabbed the Kohen Gadol's Choshen and the, you know, the one. No, many of the Kohanim had replicas of it, including Eviasar. And that's what he had, and that's what David was able to ask. And the way that they were able to have this was because Moshe Rabbeinu passed it on. He passed on the secrets of the Torah, passed on how you make the recipe, the design for the ephod and the choshen mishpat, the Urim Batumim, and that's how they made replicas of it, although they didn't make it exactly the same. They had to make it, for whatever reason, out of linen.
Any of the Kohanim could ask questions?
Well, I don't know if anyone could ask. Anyone could have it.
So what's but the you had, of but, having it?
What?
What's the purpose of them all having it? Only the Kohen Gadol could ask.
Well, not only the Kohen Gadol, but right, the Mishnah says in Yuma, the Mishnah says, "Eng nishalim bahem lehediot." You can't just ask, and not just anyone can ask a question to the Urim Batumim. Ela lamelech, the king, uga'ah beistin, the head of the beistin, And someone who there's great need for the tzibor. So why so many people had to have it? I don't know, but if you can have it, wouldn't you have it? Yeah, so, right? So why not? And if they're right up, you know, it's still a special thing to wear, certainly. And if the opportunity presents itself that it's needed, like it did in this instance, then excellent. So that's how the Ramban runs. Again, this is the Ramban's fetish. He only says it efshar. He says it's possible. He's suggesting it. But according to this wouldn't have been the actual ephod of the Kohen Gadol. It would be a replica that many Kohanim had.
So what advantage of Kohen Gadol if everybody has it?
He has the real one.
Yeah, he has the original. The original. It's made, it has the stones, you know, I don't know what exactly this one would have had. The Ramban said, he said it would have the thing, it's like it would have a demus of the Choshen HaKodesh. It would have, you know, a replica of the Choshen. So I don't know if it would mean it would have all the stones or not. Apparently those stones were hard to come by, so very expensive, some of them. So not clear, but that's the Ramban suggesting. Okay. Now, okay, so the pasuk continues. Pasuk Zayin, Vayugad l'shol kiva David ki'ila, and it was told to Shaul that David had come to ki'ila. Word spread. Right, this great rescue, this great miraculous rescue. So Shaul heard about it. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, Nikar oso Elokim biyadi. Hashem has locked him up into my hands. Kiniskar lavo v'ir delasayim uvriach, because he's been closed up to come into a city that has doors and a padlock, a bar to lock it. So Shaul hears that David is in an enclosed city, and he sees this as an opportunity to finally capture David. All we gotta do is lock him in, and then we'll capture him.
Also, David didn't take all his men; he took just a small portion of his men.
That's what someone said.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Vayishama Shaul es kol ha'am lamilchama, and Shaul sounded, gathered all the people for war. Laredes ki'ila, to go down to ki'ila. Latsur el David el anashav, to trap, to go up against David and his men. Now the Mefarshim here say that Shaul didn't necessarily tell the soldiers exactly what this battle was about. So that the Malbim here says this. The Malbim says, right, the pasuk says, "Vayishama shalos kolam melchama." He gathered the people to war. He didn't tell them exactly what this war was about. He made it seem that he was going to fight the Plishtim in Keilah, but really he was going to fight David. Pasuk tes vayeda David ki alav Shaul macharishara, and David knew that it was against him that Shaul was planning this. So David heard about this, that Shaul was gathering his people, and David realizes this isn't about Plishtim, this is about me. He's coming after me. Vayomer alav Yasser hakohen hagisha ha'efod. So he says, what do you do when you're David HaMelech and you're in trouble? Or you don't know what to do? So you get the ephod. You ask Hashem. So he says to Avyasar the Kohen, Hagisha ha-ephod, bring forth the ephod. Pasuk Yod. Vayomer David. And David said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hashem, God of the Jewish people. The Malbim somewhere else says, I don't think he says it here, but in other places the Malbim says that Elokei Yisrael, that name of Hashem, speaks to the idea of the special Ashkacha Hashem has on the Jewish people. The special Ashgacha Pratis. He's Elokei Yisrael.
What is David doing with the Eifod? Is he putting it on?
No, he's just...
Or just holding it for special...
You don't... You speak... The Gemara tells us how you would ask, but you would stand in front of it and look at the Kohen and ask the question, and the Kohen would look down at the Eifod, at the Choshen, and get the answer.
So in other words, David first asked about, or should he go to Kehillah? He doesn't have that yet because he hasn't showed up yet with the Eifod.
No, he is.
He came afterwards.
No, he didn't come afterwards. He came. We saw him come already at the end of the last parak. It only tells us that he had it after. It is an interesting order of the psukim. It's kind of I was wondering why it's ordered like that. I don't know. But it tells you, it fills in the details afterwards. First it tells you that David asked, and then it tells you, oh, you want to know how he asked? Because when Avyasar came, which he came last chapter, he came with the Eifod. Well, by he bivroach Avyasar, it was when he ran away, which was last chapter. Okay, so Pasuk Yud, Vayomer David, and David said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Hashem, God of Israel, Shamoa Shama Avdecha, your servant has heard, Ki Mevake Shaul Lavo El Keila, that Shaul wishes to come to Keila, L'shaches La'ir Bavuri, to destroy the city because of me. Pasuk Yer Aleph, here's his question. Hayaskiruni vale Keila viyado. Will the people of Keila lock me up, close me up, to hand me over to Shaul? Hayered Shaul. Will Shaul come? Kasher Shama Avdecha, like your servant heard. Hashem El Keistro Hagedna Avdecha. Hashem, tell you. Hashem, God of Israel, tell your servant, Vayomer Hashem Yered, and Hashem said, he will come down. So let's look at the question again. He asks Hashem, Hayaskiruni vale Keila biyada. Will the people of Keila, entrap me into Shaul's hands? Hayered Shaul, will Shaul come down and get me? It's out of order, right? His first question should be, will Shaul come? And his second question should be, will they hand me over to him? Will they hold me again, so that he can get me? And what's Hashem's answer? Yered. Hashem says he's gonna come. So he only answered one of the questions, right? Right? There were two questions. Will they lock me up, and will Shaul come? And Hashem says Shaul's gonna come.
Well, he's already answered the first question.
Because?
Twice.
What?
He said, you're going to be victorious.
No, that's a new thing. He already was victorious. He already destroyed, he already beat the Plishtim. Now he's worried that, now Shaul is planning to come and attack. And he wants to know, what are the people of Keilah going to do? Are they going to, listen, we have Akaris Atov, David just saved us from the Plishtim. But on the other hand, the king wants to hand him wants us to hand him over to them. So he says, what are they going to do? How are they going to respond? Are they going to lock me up? And is Shaul going to come? And what happens? Hashem says Shaul's going to come. He's going to come down.
But if Shaul's not going to come, it doesn't much matter if they lock him up. Are they going to lock him up for a little while, feed him, and clothe him, and house him, and let him go?
So what are you saying? What should he have asked?
Well, it's not that important whether they lock him up if Shaul's not going to come.
So he should first ask, is Shaul going to come?
Right. And then why did he ask it anyway?
Well, because Shaul might have got his army into it to fight the Plishtim, not to achieve the day. And that was everybody else's assumption.
They may lock him up and turn him over to the Plishtim.
Okay, let's see the next pasuk. By Yomer David, and David said, Hayaskiru vale Keila osi vesanashe biad Shaul. Will the people of Keila lock me and my men up for the hands of Shaul? Vayomer Hashem yaskiru, and Hashem said, he's going to lock you up. They're going to lock you up. They're going to turn on you, and they're going to hand you to Shaul. So, So now he asks us the question again, and this time Hashem answers that first question and says, yes, he's going to lock you up. So what's going on here?
Does anybody say why he asked that?
He can ask only one question.
Right, so, okay, so first of all, the Gemara tells us that we see from here, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Ein shal in shnei dvarim ke'echad. You can't ask two questions at the same time to the Rambam Tumim. It's one question at a time. That's the first thing. And if you do, it says, Im shal, and if you ask two questions, you only get one answer. Ein machzir lo ela echad. And which one do you get answered? Which one gets answered?
That's what should have been first.
Good. The one says the Gemara, "A machzirin lo ela rishon." You get the first, your first question answered first.
Ah, the first question. That was the second question. Yes, the one.
Ah, so the Gemara asks, "What do you mean?" Hashem answered the second question first. What do you mean? You get the first answer, the first question answered first. Hashem said the first answered the second question first. Says the Gemara, "Ela David shal shelo kaseder." David asked out of order. He asked in the wrong order. And Hashem answered him in order. Hashem said, you first need to ask, will Shaul come? And if Hashem, and if the answer is yes, so then you can ask your next question.
So you remember what you mean, answers the question should be first.
Exactly. That's what the Gemara says.
I don't remember that. Say there, why? He's still answering, why David asked it out of order.
Okay, so why did he ask it out of order? So according to the Gemara's approach, it's not so clear. The Eitz Yosef here says something. I wasn't clear exactly what he's trying to say. He says that this is what David meant. Shekavanas David haya. David's intent was as follows. Hayaskiruni vale ki'ila hayered shal. What did he mean? Kulomar, meaning to say, afim yered shal hayaskiruni. Meaning, I think what he's saying is it was really one question. It was really one question. Are they going to lock me up in the event that shal comes down? And it was really one question.
Compound question.
A compound question. That's what he suggests. Okay, but the Gemara, Hashem, you know, at the end of the day, that's not what he may have meant that, but that's not what he said. So therefore, he got the answer to the question that should have been the first question. That's what was answered first. Now, the Malbim has a differing interpretation of these questions, and I don't know if it fits so well with the Gemara. It would be maybe more on a pshat level. The Malbim says, this is what David was asking. Says the Malbim, he purposely asked out of order because he had another suffix. There's another possibility here. He says it could be that even before Shaul comes, he might send a messenger ahead, and that messenger will request from the people of Keilah that they lock him up. And that was his first question. Even before he asked, is Shaul going to come? He wanted to know, are they going to lock me up if he sends a messenger to ask them to lock me up? That was his first question. And then he asked, will Shaul come? He says, because it's possible that they may not want to listen to a messenger from the king, but if the king himself shows up, so then that's going to be a different story. Then they're going to listen. Or maybe the king himself will come and just destroy the whole city. So that's why, he says, well, pay attention closely to David's words. The first time he asks, he doesn't say, will they lock me and my men up? He says, will they lock me up? Because they might just ask for David himself. Hayaskiruni, where'd it go? Pasuk.
out.
Yeah, Pusik kicked out. First, he only asks about himself. Hayaski Runi, are they going to lock me up? As opposed to in Pusik Yubez, when he asks the second time, he says, will they lock up me and my men? So the first time he was worried just about him, that there will be a messenger. The messenger will only ask for David. And that was his first question. And then he also asked, will Shaul come? Maybe if that's not true, if they won't listen to him, but maybe Shaul will come on his own and try to destroy the city. And right, and then if Shaul is going to come, then he has a second question. Maybe once Shaul is coming, so then they're going to turn on both him and his people. Okay, well, that's the structure the Malbim works with, but the details we'll have to leave for next time, or maybe. Okay.
Next time.
Next time is next Sunday.
Thank you.